This morning, Pastor Micah has the weekend off. I'm praying he had a restful night. He was camping yesterday, and you know how that goes. It's where you pay lots of money to live like you're homeless. So we're hoping he is refreshed for ministry, despite sleeping in a bag on the ground. So it's a delight to be here in his stead. If you look in your bulletin, I have a handful of announcements to cover this morning. If you look, there's a green page there. This is our new regular part of our bulletin. It's an enjoyable look at some of the missionary families that we support here at the church. And so if you're looking how to participate and how to pray for our missionaries, that's a delightful thing that you can hang there on your fridge as a reminder to pray for the Jories. September will be here before we know it. And with that, the activities at the church ramp up. And there's quite a few needs that we have for Sunday school teachers and helpers with kids club and whatnot. And if you look on the back of the sheet there, it lists all those who are part of that committee. And if you are equipped and able to help, we ask you to serve in that way and to talk to a member on the committee and see if there is a way that you can plug yourself in and help minister to the kids of this congregation through those opportunities. As was announced last week, we did lose Mabel Johnson last week. Her visitation is scheduled this evening, 5 to 7 at Corsmo Funeral Home, and then the funeral will be here tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. If you are visiting us this morning and you would like to know information about the church, there are blue cards in the pews. If you would fill one of those out, we would happily contact you and answer any questions that you may have. And this morning, if you have prayer requests that you would like us to remember in the service and throughout the week, fill out a yellow card and hand that to the usher during the offering as well. Are there any more announcements this morning? Very good. Please hear then this morning our call to worship from Psalm 46. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Please rise and join me in singing our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Daniel 4:37 says, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven.
Good morning. Especially parched this morning.
Praise to the Father, the glorious King of creation.
True. sang this song last week, and so we're going to repeat it again this week. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more familiar. It's called Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery. And Colossians 1:15 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation.
Thank you.
At this time, would you join me in confessing our sins? Confessing not only that we have sinned and that there are moments in our past for which we are sorry, but that we are, as it says, by nature sinful and unclean. That is not just what we have done that we need to repent of, but even who we are. Join with me now. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has sent his only Son to die for us. And according to his promise in his word, whoever believes on his name, he gives the right to become sons and daughters of God. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. Amen. This time I call on Andrew for this morning's scripture reading.
The first reading this morning is found in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. Would you please rise for the reading of God's word? But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. The second reading this morning is found in Ephesians 4, verse 30 through chapter 5, verse 2. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Let us now proclaim our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I will invite the usher. Lord, we thank and praise you for all the ways that you graciously provide for us, for all the ways that you answer our prayer to give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, we ask now that you would take these gifts, that you would multiply them, and that they would be used to further your kingdom. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I invite you to prepare your hearts through hymn number 516, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." Summer, we have been preaching through the Apostles' Creed, and so we've been using the phrases in the Apostles' Creed as a framework through which we have picked our sermon texts, and this morning it is my pleasure to be preaching on the phrase, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," And so if you have missed some of those and you want the full picture, feel free. You can get the sermons online, or you can ask for a CD from the office. And if you want to hear the whole thing, you can get those. And we encourage you to stay tuned for the rest of them. This morning, my scripture is from John chapter 14, verse 26. And if you would please rise in honor of God's word. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Dear Lord, these are your words, and we pray that you would guide us into the truth this morning, that as you promised, that your Holy Spirit would be here with us, teaching us through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think one of everyone's favorite stories is J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings. And it's the story of a meager hobbit who has this great task of carrying this ring that represents all of evil to the most terrible of destinations and plunge it into Mount Doom. And if you read the books, you find out that he succeeds. But there's a character in the book who's about as important as Frodo, and that is his best friend, Samwise. And from the beginning, Samwise pledges that he will be alongside of Frodo the entire way. And this is depicted beautifully throughout the book, Samwise's dedication that Frodo isn't going anywhere without him. And so throughout the stories, you see Samwise helping Frodo fulfill his mission. Frodo gets attacked by a spider, and Samwise slays it and rescues Frodo. You see Frodo not being able to bear the burden, and Frodo knows he can't bear the burden, and there's a beautiful moment. He says, "I may not be able to carry the ring, Frodo, but I can carry you." And he hoists Frodo on his back, and he carries him up the mountain, and it's this beautiful picture of a helper, Frodo helping Samwise. And I don't know anybody who watches that film or hears a story like that and doesn't yearn for someone like Samwise in their life, someone to come alongside and help them through the thick and the thin. Well, in our text today, God promises that when Jesus left, when he ascended into heaven, that he wasn't going to leave us alone. When God saves us, he doesn't just send us off on a journey for the remainder of our life by ourselves. He promises that he will give us his Holy Spirit. He knows that we cannot be saved on our own. We know that if that's a work of God, but what comes afterwards, the work of sanctification, growing in Christ, is also a work of the Holy Spirit, a task for which we would be hopeless without a helper. I believe the Catechism puts this so well in the explanation of this third article of the Creed. It says, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel." And so there's the salvation part, that apart from the Holy Spirit, we could not be saved. But then it goes on to say that he, that is the Holy Spirit, he calls, gathers, and enlightens and sanctifies the whole Christian church. This is good news to us, that when Jesus saves us, he does not just leave us as we are. There's this house on the outskirts of Crookston that I remember driving by as a kid. It kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and with no end in sight. It made the news a year or two ago when this house finally was listed for sale. It was a big deal because it was this monstrosity of a house that's been added on to over the course of probably 20 years, and it's never been finished. You can look it up on Zillow today. It's 8,000 square feet, 7 bedrooms for a small price tag of $150,000, and it even comes with a lot of the pieces and parts you need to finish the thing off. It's a fixer-upper if you have ever seen one. And when it was first listed, everybody hoped that somebody would buy this thing and turn it into a bed and breakfast or at least do something with it. But the last thing anybody wants is for someone else to just buy it and to sit on it. The hope for a house like this is that someone will buy it and turn it into something useful. And when Jesus buys you and buys me, when he paid for us and ransomed us with his blood, he's not just going to sit on this fixer-upper and leave it as it is. It's his intent to repair us, to remodel us, from do a ground-up gut and refinish. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Our text this morning refers to the Holy Spirit as a helper. Maybe in your version it might call him an advocate, or if you go back to the King James Version, it calls him the comforter. This is, the Greek word is paraclete, and if you look at just the basic word parts, like at the most fundamental level, it means called alongside of. If the Holy Spirit is one who is called to be alongside of you and of me, and as one who's called alongside of us, we could argue from Scripture that he does all of these things, that he helps us, that he advocates for us, that he comforts us. Romans 8:26, that says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Or in Mark 13:11, it talks about times of persecution, and he promises that when we are up against a wall and we don't know what to say, that the Holy Spirit will provide us the words to say. And so throughout Scripture, we have this idea that the Holy Spirit will be there to help us in times of need. In Acts, Luke describes the church as walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So here we see the Holy Spirit is a comforter. That when we have the Holy Spirit and there's trials and difficulties, that God, through the Holy Spirit, brings us comfort. The bottom line of this word, that Jesus being a helper, a paraclete, is that he is present with us. He is alongside of us. He is for us, and he is working on our behalf. And the ways that he works are many. Jesus then goes on in our text to give us some specifics, at least part of what the Holy Spirit's job is. He says, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, this might mean something a little different to you and I than it did to the disciples. The apostles had this special, unique blessing of spending years of face-to-face time with God in the flesh. And obviously, he said more than we have recorded in the words of Scripture. And we don't have any reason to believe that there was a stenographer writing down what Jesus was saying as he said it. The New Testament was written after Christ had ascended. Now, it was written very shortly after Christ had ascended, but we believe that the Holy Spirit, in a very special way, caused the apostles to remember what Jesus had said, and therefore were able to faithfully record them in the Scriptures that we have before us. And so when we read God's word, we have Jesus's real words, and the Holy Spirit miraculously caused them to remember very precisely what Jesus had said to them while he was with them. It's because of the Holy Spirit fulfilling this promise to the apostles that we have our Bibles before us today. But I don't think that this verse refers only to that special circumstance with the apostles. The Holy Spirit was given to you and to me to be our teacher as well. And inasmuch as you and I have read the Scriptures, you have also heard Jesus speak. And this is from Genesis to Revelation. These are the words of God. And I believe that the Holy Spirit as well is still at work in his people, in you and I, to bring to remembrance, as it says, what he has said to you. Psalms talks about hiding his word in our hearts that we may not sin against him. And isn't this the case in your life? When circumstances arrive, whether they be temptation or despair or fear, the Lord has a way of causing us to remember those precious promises within his word. Or when we're tempted by temptation, the Lord reminds us that he will give us a way out, or reminds us that this thing in front of us is in fact a sin. Or when we are afraid, he comforts us with the promises that he is with us. And God speaks to us by calling to our memory the things that God has spoken to us through his word. He causes us to remember those things that he has said to us. So Jesus is promising that as he goes, he will send the helper in his place. The scene kind of reminds me of the first few days at a new job. I don't know if you've been there before, but you get this new job and they train you in on all these procedures and programs and the way everything works, and it's, you're just overwhelmed with all this information, and then the manager says, all right, you're on your own, and they walk out, and here you are just terrified because you are now alone and you've been given so much to know and to learn. Well, Jesus' disciples, yes, they'd been with him for 3 years, but talk about drinking from a fire hose when God in the flesh is teaching you day in and day out. And here he is now, stepping away, telling them that he's going to die and rise again and ascend into heaven, and they're going to be on their own. It's a terrifying thought to them. But Jesus is telling them that no, they are not going to be left alone. He is sending someone to help, someone who will teach them and cause them to remember. They don't have to be masters of it all. They don't have to be experts at anything overnight. A helper is coming. On-the-job training will continue throughout the course of their lives. God will be present with them every step of the way. Our text this morning talks about a Holy Spirit that is very alive and active in the hearts of his people. He helps, he comforts, he teaches, he causes us to remember. He's a living, personal God who is active in the lives of his people. He's doing things in the lives of his people. And I ask this morning if that is the case for you and for me. There's a few passages in Scripture that raise kind of a fearful idea. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. And to quench is to stifle. It's to put out. In describing hell, it talks that the fires of hell will not be quenched. They will never be satisfied. They will never go out. It's this idea of stopping something. And in Thessalonians, Paul exhorts us not to do that to the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's coincidence that frequently throughout Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is depicted as a fire. And the implication here is that fire can be snuffed out, that we can pour water upon the fire of the Holy Spirit. In our scripture lesson today that Andrew read for us, it said something similar. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And this again shows the Holy Spirit's personhood, that he is not just some mysterious force. He can be grieved. It doesn't tell us exactly, unfortunately, what that looks like, but it's nestled amongst this list of sins. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, and then he goes on to say all the ways that we should live amongst each other, but the bottom line is that he can be grieved, that the Holy Spirit can be quenched, he can be snuffed out of our lives in some way. And my fear for many of us is that the Holy Spirit has been quenched, that in the great remodeling project of ourselves, that at one point the overhaul got a little extreme and we tried to relegate the Holy Spirit to the root cellar. Or that when the Holy Spirit brought things to mind, as he promised to do, they were things that we did not want to hear, and so we refused to listen and hardened our heart against his voice. The implications of this passage is that God intends to be active in the lives of his people. He's not just a token. This is not just some empty promise. This is God at work in the lives of his people. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." And this idea of drunkenness is to be controlled by something. When he says, "Do not be drunk by wine," he's saying, do not drink wine to the point where you are controlled by it, where it has an influence on you, where you start to lose control to something else. And it's with this imagery in mind, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The implication is that the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer should have a level of control, that the Holy Spirit should be influencing your thoughts and your actions like alcohol influences the thoughts and actions of a drunk person. Rather than them leading you to stupidity, though, the Holy Spirit leads us in sanctification and unto righteousness. Again, it's this idea that the Holy Spirit is to be an active part of the Christian life. And so I ask this morning, when you wake up each morning, who's in control of your life? Do you consciously hand the reins over to the Lord, or are you the master of your own ship? Is Christ in the back seat? Is he merely a co-pilot? Or do you put him at the wheel? The good news this morning is that God is quick to forgive us. It is his desire to be present and to teach us and to speak to us, to cause us to remember, to help us and to comfort us and to convict us. And if we repent of that hard-heartedness, I believe the Lord is good to forgive us of that and to be active in our lives again. And so this morning, I pray that we could decide in our hearts that when the Lord speaks, when he calls to mind whatever it may be, that rather than ignore it or pretend it didn't happen, that we would humbly listen and submit. Whether that's a conviction of sin that we do not want to let go of, a nudge to say something to our neighbor in love, but we're too intimidated, whatever it is, that when the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and causes us to remember, that we would hear his voice and submit to him, that we would not put out that flame. My prayer this morning is that if the Holy Spirit has been lacking in your life, that this morning he is not. That this morning, maybe for the first time in a long while, the Holy Spirit is coming to you through his word and convicting you of having snuffed him out in the past, showing you the ways that you may have quenched the Spirit and resisted his workmanship in your life. And Jesus is calling all of us through his gospel to acknowledge those sins and our hard-heartedness, to confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and invite him to lead us and guide us through his Holy Spirit, whom he has promised. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that you promise to sanctify us through the Holy Spirit and guide us into all truth. We rejoice that you have not left us alone on earth, but you have promised to be with us and active in our lives. Lord, we are your workmanship that you declare, and we are in desperate need of your love and your guidance and your forgiveness. And so we are sorry for the times that we have grieved your Holy Spirit. I think of David's prayer, Lord, when he ask that you would not take thy Holy Spirit from him, Lord. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would be alive and well in our lives. Help us, Lord, to repent when you convict us of sin, to listen when you call to memory what you have said to us, to learn the things that you are teaching us, and even, Lord, to receive the comfort that you provide as the comforter. And now, Lord, I pray the prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that according to the riches of your glory, that you may grant us to be strengthened with power through your Holy Spirit in our inner being. Lord, I pray that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we would be rooted and grounded in love, and may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.